This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, featuring T.A. McMahon and produced by The Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could join us. In this week's cover article, we continue our topical search of the Scriptures and Roman Catholic teachings. Along with his co-host, Greg Durrell, here's T.A. McMahon.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for God's specific communication to mankind, for what He says about Himself, for what He says about us, and what He expects of us, and most importantly, what He has done for us, that we might spend eternity with Him. My out-of-studio partner on today's program is Greg Durrell. Greg is pastor of Heritage Bible Church of Gretna, Louisiana, a co-founder of Reaching Catholics for Christ, and host of the daily radio program, As It Is Written. Greg, thanks for joining me on According to God's Word.
Always a joy to be with you, Tom.
Yeah, I know you're a little bit under the weather, but we'll, by God's grace, I think we can get through this. If you're new to our program, our purpose is to consider the teachings and practices of the Roman Catholic Church in the light of what the Word of God teaches. As the prophet Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, proclaimed, "To the law and to the testimony, that is the Holy Scriptures, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And what that boils down to is simply this. In matters of spirituality, we either have what God Himself has revealed to mankind or what man thinks and has made up about God. So we need to be able to discern between God's objective truth and the subjective opinions or speculations of humans, and that's what we're trying to encourage in this program. So to that end, we're looking to the Scriptures to see what God has to say about obtaining salvation, which means spending eternity with Him. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And Peter said to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." And Greg, I'm thinking about another verse, John 17:17. Jesus prayed to the Father regarding those who would believe in Him, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify them. It means simply to set them apart according to God's truth. And without that, you know, we're just the blind leading the blind, right, Greg?
Well, you're right, and I think that's the problem with much of professing Christendom today, is that there seems to be almost a disdain for Bible study and any sort of systematic appeal to the Scripture for truth. As we've seen and we've talked about in the last few weeks, it's all empirical today. It's all about feelings and emotions and signs, wonders, and miracles. And people are missing a great, great blessing and doing a disservice to themselves by not spending time reading God's Word.
Right. So we'd encourage you to follow along in your Bibles, if that's possible, or write down some of the Scriptures that we'll be talking about. The first verse we want to get into today, again, the issue here is salvation. And the first verse that comes to mind, Greg, is Romans 1:16. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It's the power.
Sounds simple.
Yeah. Power of God unto salvation.
Well, you know, Tom, the whole theme, matter of fact, the next verse says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Mm-hmm. And I think that's the fundamental principle and truth, again, that's missing so much in our churches today. People are on a quest to find a means or a method to pay for their sins in order to make themselves acceptable to God, where the Scripture tells us that's an impossibility, that we can never make ourselves acceptable to Him, that His standard is far above ours, it's divine, and He only accepts divine perfection, divine righteousness. And so the whole theme of the book of Romans is the righteousness of God. How does one become the recipient of divine righteousness? Clearly, Romans 1:16, by belief. And we find, and we encourage all our listeners to read the book of Romans again and again and again, but clearly when you do, you find it's the Father who imputes or gives to the individual the righteousness of Christ when they believe in him. And that's why we find over and over Paul talks about being justified freely, talks about the gift of eternal life. It's not by works, it's not by human achievement, but it's simply the gift that God gives to those who put faith in what's already been accomplished on their behalf by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Greg, you used a word. You said imputes. God imputes. Now, you grew up Roman Catholic. I grew up Roman Catholic. And I'm not sure whether most Catholics have thought about this, but the Roman Catholic Church teaches that salvation has to do with sanctification, which we'll get into later. But the point I'm trying to make here is the word they use is infuse, infused righteousness. So the Roman Catholic, according to the church's teachings, has to become righteous enough to get to heaven.
Well, and again, that's the flaw in the whole theology. Again, we've studied the book of Galatians, and I commend that study. I believe you all have it available. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent study, and it shows the futility of a mindset that believes that through some effort on your part that you can cause this infusion of God's grace to come to you. And the Bible couldn't be any further on the other side. I mean, it's 180 degrees the other way. It's not about us causing God's grace to be imputed or infused to us, but it's the other way around. It's about accepting the imputed righteousness that is given. And I guess the term gift and free, or even the term grace, you know, the Latin term for grace is gratis. And, you know, down here in South Louisiana, there was a common, you know, there's a lot of colloquialisms that pop up in cultures, and people say, oh, gee, that's cool. Well, down here for a while, when something was free, somebody would say, well, what did that cost? And they say, oh, it was gratis, which meant what? It was free. Mm-hmm. So if it's free, then it can't be the byproduct of a work. It can't be something that you've earned. If it is, as Paul tells us in Romans, you've negated it. It no longer is grace, it's no longer free, but you've made it something that it's not. And that's, I think, what people need to come to grips with and recognize.
And Greg, this is such a critical issue, salvation. What we're going to do in the weeks ahead is really look at what the scriptures say about salvation. What does it mean? Well, in effect, what it means is spending eternity with God. The only way, it's God's way, or man has made something up, and the only way of truth is God's way of salvation. So we're going to look at salvation. Again, I'll repeat Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's through the gospel, through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. God's way of salvation, God's way of bringing us to him, reconciling us to him, and so that we might spend eternity with him. So I can't think of a more important issue, whether you're a Roman Catholic, whether you grew up outside of any religious belief system and so on. Salvation, where you're going to spend eternity, it's an absolutely critical issue. So I hope you'll continue to stay with us for these programs.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Greg discuss specific dogmas and doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church.
In this segment of our program called Dogmas of the Church of Rome, we're looking at official documents of the Roman Catholic Church. We've gone through the Catechism, Catholic Catechism, through Council of Trent, Vatican II. We've gone through many of the documents of the Roman Catholic Church, from the Catechism to Council of Trent to Vatican II and so forth. So this is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is paragraph 2010, and it begins, "Moved by the Holy Spirit and by charity, we can merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification, the process, that is, of salvation, according to Roman Catholicism, for the increase of grace and charity, and for the attainment of eternal life." Now, Greg, there are other paragraphs within the Catechism, but this says plainly that the attainment of eternal life is based on a merit system, and we'll tell you how they qualify that. But isn't that your reading here?
Well, it is, And the interesting thing, though, they cite no chapter nor verse for their position. You know, when you read, again, the book of Romans, it says where sin abound, grace does that much more abound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see over and over that grace is a non-meritorious thing, according to God's word. It's something that is gifted to the child of God. And it's not that we set out to work to get grace. We work because we have God's grace. And what they have done is completely reversed this divine principle. They've reversed it. Instead of having salvation as something to anticipate that God will give us, it's something that we must work for, we must attain, we must achieve in some way. And I just don't know how someone can read the scripture. Well, they obviously do not read the scripture, but how they could read the scripture and then come away with that conclusion, because it's the antithesis of what the scripture tells us about grace.
It surprises me. I mean, you've explained it, but in this paragraph, it says, we can merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification. Now, what they're telling us is that it's only by God's grace can you merit the graces that you need for eternal life. And yet we know the scripture says works, that is merit, and grace are in direct opposition to one another.
No question. And note what they said there. You can merit for others,
right,
as if I could merit grace for you. So if you are a reprobate, but you happen to be a family member or something, and then, or even a friend, I could then do things, an overabundance of things, not only to take care of the grace that I need, I could merit enough for me, but then the overflow, I could merit for you or someone else. So hence we have this idea of prayers for the dead, etc., to try to get people from purgatory, this mythological place, to heaven. So we have a whole system of works that is centered around something that is absolutely baseless. And so again, you have ritual, but it's not based upon reality. So the end result is that it's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you have people who blindly follow this path with no biblical support at all.
This is a little aside, but I think it's related. You have sufferings. You talk about purgatory, which the Bible says nothing about. As you said, it's a myth. But in that myth, according to the traditions and teachings of the Catholic Church, those who are expiating their own sins, another problem, which we won't get into right now, but those who are expiating their own sins through suffering are actually helping us here. It's like a cross-complementary thing that we pray for them to then get them out. They go through sufferings to help us with our, you know, our life here on earth. We started the first segment out by talking about the opinions, the ideas, the imagination, the mythologies of men. If you can't find it in the scripture, I don't know where else you can lay it off.
You know, Tom, how can you even call it grace? What father is desirous of their children suffering in order to come to him? Your little child wants to come to you. You say, fine, suffer first, then you can come to me. Again, that is the antithesis of grace.
Mm-hmm.
The whole connotation behind grace is love. It's that he loved so much that he suffered in our place. Jesus, having once suffered the just for the unjust, Peter tells us. So if that is true, then I'm not anticipating suffering. I'm anticipating the love of the Lord and eternal life with him that's been gifted to me because I've put my trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a marvelous message. The other thing, the Catholic mindset, put your faith in God and then suffer enough and you might get a shot to be with him. That's just bizarre. It's mm-hmm. bizarre theology.
Right. Now, of course, the Bible does not deny suffering. Paul, who I'm thinking about, his thorn in the flesh. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. But that had nothing to do with salvation.
Right.
So it doesn't deny what you just said, Greg, that a father who is drawing us to him, it's by his grace we have eternal life. Look at all that Jesus went through for us. It's in him and what he accomplished that provides the way. But that's taken care of through him. Yeah, we will have suffering here, but suffering does not expiate sins. It cannot.
Well, because it's a spiritual problem, and physical means can never correct a spiritual problem. Mm-hmm. They're two different things. And again, we find human achievement mindset says that it's all physical, it's all of us, and the only thing man can do is physical things. And so we have religious people doing physical things to try to bring about a spiritual reality, and that can never happen.
Mm-hmm. Greg, there may be some listeners out there that said, no, I'm a Catholic. My church doesn't teach that at all. Well, the Catholic Church teachings are according to the different councils, the magisterium. These are official teachings of the church. We've got about a minute here, but let me leave our listeners with this. This is from the sixth session, the canons and decrees of the Council of Trent. This is Canon 24. Every Catholic must believe this, and you'll see why. If anyone says that the justice received is not preserved and also not increased before God through good works, but that those works are merely the fruits and signs of justification obtained, but not the cause of its increase, let him be anathema. Anathema meaning condemned, cut off, excommunicated. This is an important teaching, a critical teaching of the Catholic Church, but it is not biblical.
This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Greg address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Greg, this listener writes, after talking to an individual who considers himself a faithful Catholic, I was surprised that he rejects most of what I thought Catholics were obligated to believe. For example, he doesn't believe in purgatory, transubstantiation, indulgences, or papal infallibility. I suppose I should have asked him what he did believe, but I never got around to it. This certainly makes witnessing to folks like him an ordeal. Don't you think so? I do think so, and it's not just among Catholics. Greg, it seems they're a phenomenon, and maybe people try to lay this off on that we're a postmodern generation. But people are not just into picking and choosing what they want to believe, but they're able, amazingly, to hold two contradictory thoughts or many contradictory thoughts and give them all credence. And how does that work?
Well, again, it goes back to the garden. Yea, hath God said, and you can be like God. So if you're going to be the authority in your life, where the scripture is not authoritative, you're a Catholic, you know, the Catholic teaching magisterium is not authoritative, the councils aren't authoritative, the catechism, the pope, et cetera, is not authoritative, you become the authority. Well, then you can declare truth. And obviously then, as your own God, you've enthroned yourself and you can decree what's to be believed and what's not to be believed. People live in a state of denial today. You know, they say they believe in God, but yet they give him, he's impotent. He has no authority in their lives. And people, as Sir Francis Bacon said, people prefer to believe what they prefer to be true. And that's where we are today. It's a very comfortable society. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. And if it feels good, I'll do it. I'm okay. You're okay. And as a result, we find ourselves, as we would say down here, it's a spiritual gumbo. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of everything thrown in the pot, and you just take it as you choose.
Now, Greg, what are those who would say, wait a minute, these guys are former Catholics, and they've jumped ship to move to a Protestant way of thinking, and the Protestant way of thinking is everybody, every individual can decide what they want to believe. So how is that any different?
Well, I would say, firstly, I didn't jump ship in a sense. I'm not a Protestant. Secondly, I'm just a Christian. Because before I was simply religious, whether it was Roman Catholic, which I was, or something else. But as a Christian, we recognize that there's a creator. We recognize he has revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have divine revelation and something that's authoritative that's given in his word. Now, he tells us that the Holy Spirit resides within us. He tells us the Holy Spirit will teach in God, that the Spirit will bear witness of himself within, etc. And so based upon that, we go to the Word of God. Now, people say, well, if that's true, why are there so many Protestant denominations? Again, because it becomes an issue of authority. We could say the same thing about the Roman Catholic Church. Why is there so much division inside the Roman Catholic Church? Why is it some priests say it's okay to practice birth control, others say there's not? You know, why do some priests say, well, I don't believe in transubstantiation, I believe in transignification, which the church has said is heretical. We have that riddle that there's no Catholicity anymore. Go to Notre Dame University, and they laugh at Catholics in South Louisiana who pray the rosary and venerate Mary. They think that is primitive. And so the ultimate thing for any individual must be, do you believe there's a God? Has he revealed himself? And if so, if he's given us a written record of his own testimony, then can we believe it? And I think the evidence is there, and I think we should. If people would just read the scripture, you would not come out Catholic or anything else. You'd come out born from above.
Mm-hmm. And the verse I quoted in our first segment, Isaiah, proclaiming to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. That's for every individual. Greg, as you said, if we've come to Christ, believe in who he is, if we're born again by the Spirit of God, then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep all the things that I say to do. That is a personal, first of all, it begins with a personal relationship with him, and now we're personally accountable. And we go to his word, and we have to live it out. So consequently, those who say, well, Protestants or evangelicals or non-Catholics, you know, they're kind of picking and choosing. No, we are accountable to the Word of God to live up to that. And as you said, Greg, once you become born again, you have the Spirit of truth living within you to guide you into all truth, the Scripture says. Well, that being the case, we are responsible and accountable not only for knowing the truth, but for living it in our own lives.
And it's not a complex thing, you know, Tom.
Right.
The question's posed, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Rome says just the opposite.
According to the Scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse, I think, 3 and 4, right in there, it says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God's way is in his Word, and that's where we are to go to live out the Scriptures so that we might have a life that is pleasing to God, doing things his way. For salvation? No. Believing the gospel, that's what we do for salvation, and Christ has accomplished that fully for us. But God has given us his word and his truth. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that only comes by abiding in him, living out his word in our own lives.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. You've been listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. And now, to tell you more about Reaching Catholics for Christ, here's Tom McMahon.
The primary mission of Reaching Catholics for Christ is to support former Catholics and other believers in their endeavor to personally minister the biblical gospel to their Catholic loved ones, friends, and acquaintances. Reaching Catholics for Christ is committed to increase the effectiveness of ministries which have been called to proclaim the biblical gospel to Catholics, and to help such ministries educate the body of Christ as to the unbiblical nature of Roman Catholic salvation. Simply, Reaching Catholics for Christ is compelled by Christ's love to present the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, to those who are trusting in any means of gaining eternal life contrary to what the Word of God teaches. Our hope, prayer, and encouragement is that all who call themselves Christians will take to heart the words of Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Gary?
We offer a wide selection of teaching materials to help you in your study of God's word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708.
or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 1605. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. And we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.